Welcome back to the Tag Teamers. I'm Russell Russell. That's Krypton. We're going over Monday Night Raw. What do you want to start with?
I think it's pretty easy. We should start with the Creed Brothers and Gable versus the Wyatt Six. What are your thoughts on that?
Best match of the night. I was surprised that this was the opening match. I thought this would end up main eventing, but of course they went commercial free, kicked off the show, gave them their time. Fun match.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree with you. There's a lot of things I like about this match. A lot of things. To start off with, I think Dexter Lumis is great, honestly. Liked him. I like how they got right after it. Didn't really hesitate at all. They very straight beat down, move after move and everything. It was great. Awesome match. I like Nikki Cross doing it. She seemed to play the part very well. I was very skeptical about how the woman would fit in to this match, because, you know, with obviously the men not being able to hit the woman, but actually with the Nikki Cross suplexing Gable was pretty awesome. Thought that was fun.
Yeah,
the kendo sticks, they're just beating the crap out of each other in the trash can. There's shit, everything's exploding, like the just exploding and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It is a weird dynamic given there's two women in the match, but there's six men, so the women can only interact with each other, which does set up weirdness. But it's a street fight. They got after it. They used the weapons. The tables spot was cool. The fire extinguisher. This match was, I mean, everything it was supposed to be, and I agree with you. I think Dexter Lumis is the star of the group. Obviously, they're trying to portray Bo as with Correct. Uncle Howdy, but I think it's Lumis. I think he's got the best look. I think he moves around the best. I want to see him cut more promos and take more of that kind of role, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think his in-ring, it just popped out the most in the whole thing. I think that he... I don't know how well he is on the mic or anything, but I just know that in the ring, he seems like he's a top star, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he's way better in the ring than Joe Gacy and Eric Rowan. You know, I mean, not that that's a super high bar, but yeah, I think he's got serious potential. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what they do with these guys. They're kind of... They're in a tough spot because a lot of these guys aren't really cutting promos, you know, and Bo is just doing it all. So we'll see what kind of opportunities they give him. But if they give him the opportunities, I think he could thrive because, I mean, he can go in the ring at least.
Right. Yeah, I agree with it completely. I just didn't understand how, like, with Uncle Howdy just sitting – he wasn't at like the top of the ramp out of the way. He was just sitting basically almost ringside, and I anticipated that he would get involved eventually, but it took a little longer than I expected. And I figured that like Gable or any of the Creed would address him and try taking him out early on too. But he just kind of sat there rocking back and forth the whole time. And I just didn't understand why he's there and they didn't try to do anything to him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would have made sense. I mean, of course, we used to see Bray used to, you know, kind of sit there.
Right. Rock. I just thought that he sat more up at the top of the ramp. Maybe I'm wrong there. I'm not sure. But
yeah, it definitely had a different impact when Bray did it anyways, you know, or this kind of felt like, honestly, like the Wish version of that. But I think if Gable and the Creeds smash that rocking chair, you know, I think that could have added a lot here, you know, like if they attacked Bo and then smash that chair up, that would have been great.
Yeah, I agree with that. What did you think about the Gable botch thing that happened with them with the trash can? What was that all about?
Just one of those things, I think. It happens.
Right. It happens. I thought that was just a little bit weird too.
I hope we move on from this. I want to see Gable in a different role. I don't want to see him keep feuding with these guys. They've ate enough losses to these guys now. I think it's time to move on. So with that being said, who would you like to see the Wyatt Six target next?
You know, that's I didn't really put much thought into that. But I mean, I would like them to go try to get involved with another faction, like maybe Karrion Kross and them, maybe do something there with the big bodies and everything. I'm sure that would be a pretty fun match. But I think Gable's over this as well. I think he's above this. He seems like he should be getting to the next step, trying to get pushed for a world title match and everything.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, Karrion Kross, the Final Testament, that'd be a good fit. I mean, there's three of those guys. There's even a woman involved, you know, so they can continue to tell that kind of story. I think that would be a great fit. I think for the Wyatt Six, that might be a step back because Karrion Kross is kind of, you know, he's just floating around. It's kind of feuding with him doesn't do much for you. So I kind of think like going from feuding with Gable to Karrion Kross would be a step backwards, but I wouldn't rule it out if they want to continue to build these guys. I think maybe they could go up the card. I mean, we'll see. Maybe, I mean, this might be far-fetched, but they might be targeting Drew next. I could see something like that if they want to go in that direction to give Drew something to do following the Hell in a Cell match with Punk.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that. It seems like they're putting a lot of effort towards these guys, but there's no reason for them to take a step back. It'd be anything going forward. Maybe even Judgment Day type deal. Because, I mean, that might be a little bit overboard, but it's still, I think, still a step up.
I wouldn't rule that out, especially, I mean, I guess the only issue could be right now. The timing could be off. You know, they might save that for Mania, but if they run faction versus faction going into Mania, you know, that can make a lot of sense. Because I kind of think with Finn and Priest, we're going to have a lot of story right now, so I don't really see that happening. But, yeah, down the road, I definitely think that makes a lot of sense.
Like, I like watching these guys in the ring. When they actually wrestle, it's good, I think. But it just takes some weeks, like 2-3 weeks, to actually get a match going with them for some reason. I feel like they just need to be more into the ring wrestling.
Yeah, like the backstage stuff, the VHS tapes. It works for a little bit, but then it's too much. Yeah, it's like, okay, it's time to actually wrestle. You know, that's what the show is designed about, you know, wrestling. So yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I mentioned Punk Drew. You want to talk about that? The Hell in a Cell match is official for Bad Blood. Do you think that'll actually be the main event of Bad Blood?
I feel like it should be, honestly. I feel like that's they have a big story going on with it. It's the last match of the three matches that they had. I mean, that was pretty announced. Pierce announced that this is the end of it. This is the last match and everything. I think that it should be main event 100%. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, there's been three Bad Blood pay-per-views in history. All three have been main evented by a Hell in a Cell. So it would make all the sense. I mean, this is one of the hottest stories on Raw. And the only thing I wish was different with the Hell in a Cell confirmation is I wish Punk or Drew were the ones to challenge each other to it rather than Pierce announcing it the way he did.
Right. I don't like it. Also didn't sit. It was weird to me that they just kind of like tried shrugging each other off. Like, this is like, they thought that, Punk winning the strap match was okay. Now I'm over it. Now I'm done with Drew. And then Drew beats him up, and then he comes out and says, oh, now he's in the past type deal. I feel like that should have been the vocal point of them coming to an agreement to have this last match at Bad Blood, as you're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think one thing, too, is like, I mean, these guys have obviously been attacking each other. Drew stole the bracelet. These guys have cost each other world title matches. The Hell in a Cell is a good ending to the story, but I think also within the story, these two are so set on each other that something else needs to be done to actually keep them away from each other, you know, within the show. Because I just don't see how they could have all these issues and then, you know, after the third match, they just move away from each other, exist on the same show. This guy goes out 20 minutes earlier and they just don't interact again.
Is there like a potential trade happening, or you think? there?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I could see Drew, like, if Drew loses, I could see him moving to SmackDown. We know on SmackDown they're lacking heels.
Oh, yeah.
Cody's lacking challengers. I think that could make sense, and I wouldn't rule that out.
Right. I think my perspective, I think Drew should be the one, if they do get the trade, go to SmackDown. Because I think after this Punk Drew feud, it should be kind of moving into Drew Punk Rollins eventually. I don't know exactly when they should be doing that, because I think that's a Mania match, but I don't know what, like, the time frame when they should start building that up, because I feel like that story could go on for a while. It'd be a pretty good story.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that starts to pick up steam around the Rumble. Right. I mean, I would like to see Punk get the world title soon, and then that's what the feud is in the match at WrestleMania, is for the world championship. I think that would give Gunther, you know, if Gunther holds this world title for another 2 months and then Punk takes it, I think that's a good enough reign for him, and I think that would fit perfectly with Punk and Seth.
Yeah. Another thing saying that Drew should be, it'd be better for Drew to move to SmackDown too with that, because then Drew, if Punk could get the world title from Gunther and then go off of that type deal. And
exactly.
Because has Drew and Cody ever, like,
had no, not since Cody's been back. I mean, way back, you know, in like 2010-ish, they were tag champs together, actually, you know, if you remember that.
I mean, they could do something there. There's potential there.
Yeah, there's a good story waiting to be told. Obviously, both guys were released, came back, and then became main eventers and WWE champ and stuff. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of story that could be told with those two. And as I said, I mean, Cody needs the challengers.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty lackluster over there on SmackDown.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Gunther, I mean, what'd you think of that whole segment with Bret Hart and Sami Zayn?
I didn't mind it, honestly. It wasn't like too fond of it, but it wasn't. I mean, Bret Hart makes me feel old now.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see him coming limping down to the ring and like just slow, barely being able to get in and out of the ring, it just makes me feel old. I mean, he's probably a little bit before my time, but I still watched him a little bit as growing up. But I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good thing to see Bret. I never have an issue when the legends come back, but my issue with the segment is Gunther still refusing to give Sami Zayn a world title shot. I mean, Gunther's a heel. I get it. That's like a kind of thing that they do, but he's also not a chicken shit heel. You know, he's not a scared guy. He's supposed to be this physical, imposing guy. I just think it would make sense in kayfabe that he wants to beat the guy that last beat him at WrestleMania and ended, you know, his record-setting Intercontinental Championship reign.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I just don't understand. I would have figured, too, that even after Hart called him a coward, that he would have, like, picked up the mic, or even at the top of the ramp when the camera zooms in on him. Oh, you want this match? Then I'm going to give you this match. You know what I mean? Type deal. To show that he's not kind of a pushover.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good look for Gunther. I think I haven't been a fan of him as world champion so far. I mean, his matches are always good, but I've always feel, you know, with these segments where he's on the mic, I always feel like he's missing something or something goes wrong on his end. And, you know, yeah, like the match will be great when him and Sammy end up wrestling again, but I don't know, just the story to get there just doesn't hit for me.
Right. He's not very good at telling the story on the mic, like, without, it's just, I think he's very overrated on the mic. The ring inside the ring, he's great. I think the finisher could use some work. He needs to do something different with that. I think that's kind of is lackluster as well, but yeah, I think the mic, definitely on the mic, he needs some work.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And even, I mean, Kaiser was with him for a while. You know, he was his mouthpiece for a reason.
Yeah,
and
that helped a lot.
I think we need to get back to that. I think Gunther would be doing a lot better if Kaiser was the one speaking for him most of the time.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, you want to talk about the Intercontinental Championship contender match?
Yeah. So So with this match, I'm not really a big fan of Fatal 4-Way matches anyway, going into it. And it seemed like it was too much going on for this, for a mid-card title. I know that they're trying to make it prestigious, bring it up, build it up, make it look better than it has been in the past and everything. And Bron Breakker does that well. He does do that well. But this match, it didn't need to be a Fatal 4-Way match. There was no reason to have three triple threat matches or whatever it was to get into a Fatal 4-Way contention match. I just don't think that was needed. I think it could have been a one-on-one match. I would like to see Jay and Dragunov one-on-one, honestly.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. And there were some good spots in the matches. The overselling with Dragunov gets me going a little bit. It makes me smile because it's kind of funny. But yeah. I think, and the biggest highlight of that match, I thought, was Bronson Reed effortlessly. And him and Braun Strowman just going through that table. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything through that table. It was a massive pile up on that thing. And that was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't know why they did so much. There was four triple threats to qualify for a Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. And I'm with you, man. It's like, whatever happened to just telling a story? This guy has an issue with this guy. I don't need 25 contender matches to get to this. Just for Jey Uso to lose to Braun, because I don't give him any chance to win. And honestly, I kind of think Jey winning this will end up hurting Jay because he keeps earning these big matches. That's kind of been the thing, but then he just keeps losing them. You know, I would have rather Jay was in the match. Okay, sure. Somebody else eats the pin. Somebody else qualifies and Braun faces somebody else, but I don't need to keep seeing Jay Uso lose in these big time matches.
Right. Yeah. I mean, eventually one of these things got to get right. I mean, I would hope, but I don't understand why they just keep making him lose.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just think that he just gives them enough, like, he's just so over, I guess you could say, that they just think that he deserves all these matches. But if he's not winning any of these matches, why do they keep putting him in these matches?
Exactly. I think it's going to end up killing his momentum just to keep losing and losing and losing. And
surprisingly, it hasn't yet.
I know.
How many title matches has he had in the last freaking year, 6 months?
Right. No, I know. I mean, he's had a lot of big matches and he just doesn't come through. And I don't know. I mean, we got the whole Bloodline Civil War is lurking, you know, that'll probably end up at Survivor Series. So I guess this is just a filler for him until then. But I don't know. I still would have rather seen Bron Breakker against somebody else here. But yeah, in terms of the match, it is a lot of fun. I do enjoy Fatal 4-Ways. I enjoy Triple Threats. I like all multi-man matches. A lot of craziness happens. I would have been okay with Strowman winning this. I think Bron Breakker versus Braun Strowman could be a lot of fun, and then Bronson Reed screws him then to tell that story, and that gives Bron Breakker a good win.
Yeah, that would have been good. I'm glad that Dragunov didn't win. That is what I'm glad that he didn't. I mean, we've seen Braun squash him plenty of times. I think I've had enough of that for now. Maybe come back to it in the future. I'm just glad that he didn't win. But like you said, I think I would have preferred Braun Strowman winning as well.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I think that would have been better storytelling and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely glad that Dragunov didn't win too, because I'm with you. I've seen Braun beat him enough times, and yeah, man, I'm with you. That selling, he needs to take that down just a notch.
I do like how passionate and how like enthusiastic he is. He just seems like he loves to be there, which is awesome. I love it. But he needs to just calm down a little bit, I think. Just relax. This doesn't, you don't get crazy every time you take a bump.
Yeah, no, and it's not sustainable. He cannot bump like that for the next 10 years. No. You know, something has to give somewhere, because it's just not going to work.
It's just, yeah, I agree.
What do you want to talk next?
What are your thoughts on this is still part of the Fatal 4-Way. What are your thoughts on the Pete Dunne, honestly? What do you
I like Pete Dunne, but I mean, he's a long way away from being a champion, you know, even mid-card champion. But he is a lot of fun. He does set up some good spots. He's a perfect mid-card guy, I would say.
Right. I feel he does the whole finger breaking, not that stuff. It's like, it kind of gives me like the vibes of like when Randy Orton was used to the stomp type deal. But it's just not as effective. Like, it doesn't get me like going as much as Randy Orton did when he would just slowly walk around as a stomp on, and he's just kind of just grabbing their fingers, and all of a sudden they're just letting go of this. Like, Braun Strowman had a hold of him, and he just lets go of him, and he's half the size, not even close to him. And he just, because he's got his pointer finger bent backwards.
I mean, right. And then the thing is they don't tell a story with it. So, like, nobody the following week is wearing a cast. Nobody has an issue. He just does it. And then for the time being, it just breaks a hold. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. I wish he would reserve that for, you know, maybe every few weeks, not every single match. Because every single match, it's just too much, and it just doesn't hit. Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's the same thing. He's just doing the nonsense where he can break in his fingers, and then they don't do anything after the fact with it, like you're saying.
Right. So he's kind of a one-trick pony with that, but I don't know. I mean, that is kind of his thing, right?
Right.
That's what you remember from his matches is that spot. So I don't completely fault him for relying on it, but yeah, he should get a little more tools in his arsenal.
Yeah. So seeing how we're speaking of Braun Breaker with the IC match, what did you think of all the interaction he had with each of the members of the Fatal 4-Way match?
I think that's good. I think those are the kind of things that should be told. You know, like, if he had only interacted with one of them, which that kind of stuff does happen, I think that would have foreshadowed who was going to win. But since he does interact with all of them, you know, it does kind of foreshadow anybody could win this. And it could be anybody's match. So I was a fan of that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think that it was great to do that. I think maybe they're working them in a little bit to get better with speaking. Maybe that's what they were doing there. I don't know. But I did. I liked it. I liked how he was just not fazed by anybody. He's like, I'm going to come through and I'm just going to wreck everybody, basically. Yeah. It's like, nobody's got a chance against me. I mean, I don't think Jey Uso was going to beat him at Bad Blood or whatever. They're facing for it.
Yeah. No, me either. But, I mean, hey, when you come out with a singlet that says badass, you got to be badass. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, he can't be scared of these guys. And so, yeah, no, I think that builds him up. And I've noticed it seems like a lot of his talking segments are backstage. So I wonder if they do lack the confidence with him on a mic in the ring right now, you know, because for weeks and weeks, a lot of his stuff is backstage.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe they're trying to build him up and work him into being great on the mic. But he doesn't sound bad backstage. Like, he's not stumbling, muffling, like going over his word. Like, it just, he sounds like he's doing fine. So maybe he's ready to hop out in front of the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different ball game, of course, when, you know, there's 20,000 people in the arena staring at you. But yeah, no, I think he does good backstage.
Right. So, what do you want to address next? You want to go into Finn Balor and Priest, that segment there?
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, the Judgment Day and as a whole, you know. I mean, that match is made official, right? Finn versus Priest.
Yep.
It's about time we get that match.
I was – when Finn was on the mic, he was saying how Priest was hiding from him. And I'm like, isn't that like the opposite? I think that Priest does come out and say this whole time he's been trying to get hold of him. And he's the one that's running. So I just thought that was pretty funny. He was trying to say that Priest is hiding the back from him.
Yeah, right. I mean, perfect. Just playing the heel, you know.
Right.
I am glad that we're finally getting this. I wasn't happy that the mixed tag match was what happened for Priest. I didn't feel like that was a good follow-up to Finn turning on him. But, yeah, I honestly, if Punk and Drew weren't telling such a hot story and getting the Hell in a Cell, if this match was the Hell in a Cell match, I would have no issues with that.
Now, is there any chance you think they add any Hell in a Cell match besides the one? You think there's a chance that maybe I know that Rhea and Liv's been announced, but maybe there's a chance that stipulation gets put on that?
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking, honestly. I thought that they were going to give the Hell in a Cell to the women. I thought that's kind of where we were heading there. And obviously, Liv continues to run away from Rhea, so her being stuck in a cage with her would have made sense. So I am kind of surprised that they didn't add that, but I don't know. Since they didn't announce that now, I kind of think they're just going to stick with the one.
Right. I don't like how all of these, the Judgment Day matches are being interfered with, or because some of the matches I feel like could be great. Like, speaking of, I mean, we don't have to go into it right now, but I mean, Dragon Lee versus Dom, I feel like that could have been a great match. Like, it started, like, I'm a big high flyer guy, and I'm a big fan of that. Like, all jumping off ropes and everything. And this, it was turning out to be great, and then it just gets interrupted. And again, it just sucks, I know. I think.
I feel like the Judgment Day is starting to run its course, especially now that it's lost Rhea and Priest. And I think, yeah, just them interrupting all these matches, and it's just, it's the same old, same old.
Right. It just takes away from, I think, what could be great, and then just ruins it with an ending like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. And then, like, they can't successfully do it in any feud that's meaningful. You know, like, they're not doing it in these big matches. They'll do it with, like you said, Dom versus Dragon Lee, you know.
Which don't even make sense. Like, and with Liv in the Judgment Day instead of Rhea, I'm not, like, she's supposed to portray and be intimidating. I'm just never, like, Rhea is intimidating, I feel. But Liv in there just doesn't, I don't think she fits with trying to be intimidating.
Yeah. Well, Rhea's physically imposing. She's, right. You know, she's jacked. I mean, even Liv's character doesn't make sense. She just runs away. You know, she's scared. You know, that's what her character is. So I don't think she's a great fit. I do think the Judgment Day as a whole, I think they need to add somebody, because right now I just don't think it's a great fit, because it's Finn with a bunch of jobbers, essentially, you know? Like, That's what I consider the rest of these guys. I mean, Dom's got Megan Heat, but he's a jobber.
Right. I feel like he's got potential. He's got to break away, I think, a little bit from, and try to do things a little bit on him. I feel like he's always been supported by other people to get his career going. I feel like it's time for him to maybe make a jump to, like, doing things by himself.
Yeah.
I feel like he could be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely needed the help at first, but I mean,
right? Yeah, I mean, he's this young kid.
now he's kind of getting to the point where, yeah, I wouldn't mind him just disbanding from the Judgment Day. I think they got to split this Judgment Day, because it's not working. I mean, Carlito was never a great fit, anyways.
He just adds that comedy to it.
Like, yeah,
when he's doing that skit at the end where they're trying to be all intimidating, and he just,
yeah,
or something like that, just throws in some like one word line.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, no, he's good for that. He does pop me here and there, but other than that, yeah, it's just like he doesn't add much in terms of kayfabe. You know, he's just a body. He's just a dummy to get beat up for them. But yeah, I would like to see these guys lose the tag titles too. Like JD and Finn, like, you almost forget they have the tag titles.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of the tag titles, we saw that Xavier and Kofi get a match for them next week, I think.
Yeah.
Their 10th anniversary. Is that a chance that they drop it? What do you think about that? Is there a chance that they do drop them?
I think so.
You think that's a good chance?
I think so. I think it would do good for the tag division to put the titles back on the New Day. And just, like I said, get it off of Finn and JD, because they're not doing a whole lot there. And, I mean, Finn's feuding with Priest. I mean, not very often do we see a world tag team champion having singles matches on pay-per-views, PLEs, you know, with somebody else. It's like that's just not doing any good for the tag division or the tag titles.
Right. Yeah, I think Finn needs to be in a solo match anyway. I don't think he belongs in the tag division. He's way over the tag division. Like, he doesn't need to be in the mid-card title. It needs to be at the main event. I think he's more of a main eventer. Bring back out the Demon. Come on, we want to see it.
Hopefully we get it right with the feud with Priest. I think it would make sense. It's just, I think this will depend how many matches they do, you know, with Finn and Priest, but I don't know. The Demon is kind of, in theory, it should be a heel, but we all love it so much.
Right.
It's kind of a face thing, so I could see him not bringing it out because of that, but I hope he does.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Speaking of, now that we're talking about more Finn, what did you think of him and Rey Mysterio's match? It was lackluster, I know, but...
Yeah, I mean, the ending's kind of lame, but Finn versus Rey is, I mean, on paper, that should be a great match. It's exciting. You know, when you see that's what's happening, you know, you get a little excited. You perk up, but yeah, the ending just was a dud for me.
I mean, yeah, that goes back to what I was saying with Dom and Dragon Lee. It's just like they're taking away these great matches by just... and making them end like dog water. Like, it's just not, it's awful. It's just, I don't understand why. Like, why does that need to be a DQ? To emphasize that he's not playing games anymore or something?
Right.
Like, I don't know what the deal is with that. Like,
It doesn't accomplish a whole lot for me either, you know? And I'm sick of seeing Ray feuding with the Judgment Day, too, you know? He's been feuding with Dom for years now. Can Rey Mysterio do something else at this point in his career?
I know. Like, it's just, it always reverts back to him and Dom having these exchanges. Oh, deadbeat. Like, I mean, I've heard that word about 5 million times, I think. He's like, there's no other comeback for Dom now besides your deadbeat.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be against, like, Rey and Dragon Lee going for the tag titles or something like that, you know? Like, that would make sense for me. But, yeah, just Rey versus Dom, I've had enough of it.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, there's no. They've had their matches. They've already said they've done everything they had to do with it. But then all of a sudden, wait, as you think you're done with it, they come back and hit you with some other nonsense. They bring it right back to you.
Yeah.
Just to add it in there. Just
Just to remind you.
It always feels like when Dom's starting to lose maybe a little heat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's not getting booed maybe as much or something. It's always when they like feel like, oh, he's being disrespectful to a legend, his dad. That they always throw that back, and then all of a sudden all the boos come back like crazy and everything. It's just...
Yeah, they're just going back to the well. You know, they know that always works, and they'll continue to do it. And hopefully, I don't know, that's part of the concern for Dom's career is once Rey actually does retire, which we're not far from, maybe a couple years, 2-3 years, but... Once that's done, what does Dom do? Can he actually do something other than feud with Rey?
I hope so. I think he's got a lot of potential. I mean, he's hated right now by the crowd. I feel like it's going to be one of those guys that's kind of hard to turn face because he's so good at being a heel that when he turns face, it's going to be probably like popping like crazy. It's going to be a crazy segment. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll be a long way down the road, I think. But,
yeah,
of course, once he actually does turn face, I think he will be celebrated. Anything else you want to cover?
Yeah, I want to talk about the women's tag title match a little bit.
Okay.
So, I feel like we both thought that this was obviously, I mean, they were going to retain. Triple H hates giving up the titles on live TV for some reason instead of just pay-per-views, but I think that they dominate it. I mean, I would like to see more of Jade. I feel like Belair is doing most of the work, and then Jade comes in and does a couple moves, and then that's just it. I feel like she needs to, if they want her to be a good singles star, she needs to start putting in more work, I feel.
Yeah, I think she's a long way from being a real singles competitor. And I think when they signed her, we knew she was kind of green. You know, she didn't get a whole lot of work and development in AEW. That was kind of the knock there. But, yeah, I think they put her in a tag team with Bianca because they knew she needed to hide behind Bianca. And I'm concerned for her when they actually do break up and go their own way if she's actually got it. I think they'll give her every opportunity. They'll push her. They'll put her in the big matches. But it's just something about her isn't clicking. And I think it might just be, you know, when she has to actually wrestle, there's not a whole lot going on. Sure, she can. She's big. She's powerful. She's strong. She can throw the girls around. But other than that, she moves kind of clunky in the ring.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually just about to say that. That it feels like she just doesn't. It's not smooth. It's like not natural with her. It's just. It feels like it's she's just there, and it's just sloppy, kind of slow. And then when she does, she's in the ring for a long time. She like runs out of energy and runs out of ideas, and then she's got to kind of make something up on the spot, and then it kind of looks weird. And then she's got to go with it. And then she definitely has a lot of development to do still, which is unfortunate because that would be a great, I think, Mania match too. Was Jade and Belair once they finally, if they decide to turn one on the other.
Yeah, which I would imagine that's where we're heading. So, I mean, right now we sit in September. Mania's in April, so I mean we're about 6-7 months out. We'll see if she can make that improvement over the next 6 months, but if not, it might be sink or swim. You know, if she's not ready, she's not ready. And I mean, Bianca can't continue to be held back in a tag team, a meaningless tag division, you know, for too long. You know, she's got to go off and do her own thing. Jade kind of needs to step up and prove that she's worth the money.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Anything else you want to?
I mean, there wasn't really anything else that happened. I mean, you did get the Pure Vision versus Selena Vega, Valkyrie, and of course, Natalia coming back.
Yeah, they get the cheap pop of her being in Canada, but not a whole lot happening there, you know.
Of course, pretty skippable. Yeah, and then of course they did the whole tribute to Bret Hart with the submission and everything. That was, I mean, that's about all you got from that match.
Yeah, I mean, before we get out of here, I think the last thing to cover is they announced October 7th, Raw's going back to 2 hours, at least for the end of the year. Do you think that's a good move, bad move? Should they continue at 2? Should they go back to 3 once they get back on Netflix?
So I don't know how the Netflix thing is going to work, like how the ads are going to work with Netflix. I don't know how all that's going to work out. So if it's just 2 hours of commercial free, then that's perfect, I think. But there's so many superstars that are like over that are not getting TV time now, let alone going back to cutting an hour. And still having the commercials and stuff. So if it's 2 hours of commercial, I think it's fine. But there is, I mean, obviously there is some times on Raw where it kind of feels like it's dragging. Like they're just throwing in these squash matches just to get the time going. So maybe it could help it a little bit. I feel like it could be a positive and a negative. It could go both ways to me.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I think in terms of it being 2 hours from October 7th till the rest of the year, I'm not a big fan of that. I always feel like 2 hours is a little short for a wrestling show, but 3 hours can be very long sometimes. You know, there is a lot of filler, but I mean, the Raw roster is deep. I think they do tell a good story there. But once it's on Netflix, I've read some speculation that, you know, you don't have to schedule time, you know, like on television, you're on 8 to 11. On Netflix, we don't even know what this is going to look like. Obviously, they don't have live television, but I've read people said it could go 2 hours and 25 minutes one week. It could go 2 hours and 40 minutes the following week, and it could just vary each week, and then you don't know when the main event's going to end. You don't know, you know, when the show's over because you're not looking at the clock saying, okay, well, there's 3 minutes left. Obviously, they're going to wrap it up. So they can go any way they want. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the commercial part is an interesting part because that's completely unknown to us.
Yeah, I also don't know how – like, are they pre-recording these shows too for Netflix? Like, what is – How is that going to work out as well?
Yeah, I think they'll continue live just because it just the excitement goes away when it's recorded. I don't think they would take that risk.
Right.
But we'll see how Netflix handles live television. You know, like even with it being live, because they don't do live showing.
Right, exactly.
So there could be some issues, you know, in the early weeks of them broadcasting.
Right. Yeah. I mean, It could be good. It could be bad. We don't really don't know because we don't know how it's gonna go with Netflix. But
yeah,
it's gonna be fun. It's definitely gonna be fun. They're allowed to do a lot more now, I feel.
Yeah, they're gonna have freedom with language, with blood, with whatever else. So it should be good. I'm not really happy completely that it's moving to Netflix, just because I mean there's the pros, but it's just a lot of unknown kind of makes me a little worried about how it'll actually come across, but we'll see.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I definitely feel you. But I don't know why they would cut it back an hour, October 7th. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't just do that when Netflix comes, when they switch over to Netflix. Why are they?
That's a good question, because they could either be given it a trial run, how the 2 hours works again, or, I know the TV deal ran up and then USA extended them. Maybe they weren't anticipating the 2-month extension. So they just had already filled that time slot. I don't know. I really don't, but who knows? I mean, it could just be a trial.
Yeah. Cause I know, I feel like SmackDown sometimes is too short.
And that's always how I feel. Yeah.
And there's not enough time. Like, they waste time going on and on with these promos and segment, and they take time away from actually wrestling.
Yeah. There'll be like 3 matches on SmackDown sometimes.
Right.
Which isn't enough.
And I just hope that doesn't happen to Raw, because there's just too much talent on it that people are going to lose time on television. There's no reason for it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. We'll wrap up now, and thank you for listening to the Tag Teamers. We'll be back with a SmackDown review, and we'll see you then.